40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off with the Road to Russia 2018 and the qualifying competition for football's premier event. Argentina, Colombia, France, Panama, Portugal, and Uruguay all booked their tickets to Russia on Tuesday, while the United States suffered a humiliating exit in Trinidad and Tobago. Let's begin with Argentina and Portugal, who feature arguably the sport's two greatest players, Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. Messi was again in magical form in the thin air of the Andes. He scored all three goals as Argentina defeated host Ecuador 3-1 in Quito on the last day of South American qualifying. Two-time World Cup champion Argentina was on the verge of missing the global soccer showpiece for the first time since 1970. Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal are also going to next year's World Cup in Russia after a 2-0 victory over Switzerland in Lisbon. An own goal by Swiss defender Johan Joru accounted for the first Portuguese goal just before halftime, and AC Milan striker Andre Silva scored the second in the 57th minute. Also in Europe, 1998 World Cup champion France qualified for next year's football extravaganza in Russia after a 2-1 victory over visiting Belarus. Atletico Madrid man Antoine Griezmann scored the first goal in the 27th minute and created France's second goal by Olivier Giroud just 6 minutes later at the Stade de France just outside Paris. Still in Europe, the Netherlands will miss out on next year's football fun in Russia after failing to qualify following the final round of European matches. The Dutch were runners-up at the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, and they finished in third place at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. The Netherlands finished third in European Group A qualifying, despite beating visiting Sweden 2-0. Now let's go back to South America. Two-time World Cup champion Uruguay is going to Russia after a 4-2 victory Tuesday over visiting Bolivia. Barcelona star Luis Suarez had two second-half goals for Uruguay, while Martin Caceres and Paris Saint-Germain standout Edinson Cavani also scored. Uruguay advances to the 2018 World Cup as the second-place team in South American qualifying behind Brazil, which booked its ticket in late March. Lionel Messi and Argentina finished in third place in South American qualifying, and Colombia is going to Russia as the fourth-place team in the region. The Colombians drew 1-1 with host Peru Tuesday in Lima. Colombian star James Rodriguez scored the opening goal in the 56th minute, and Paulo Guerrero equalized for Peru in the 74th minute. Let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Panama, which clinched its first ever World Cup berth Tuesday night with a 2-1 victory over visiting Costa Rica. Roman Torres, a defender for Major League Soccer's Seattle Sounders Club, scored in the 88th minute for Panama to set off celebrations in Panama City. The Panamanians finished in third place, good enough to claim the CONCACAF region's final automatic qualifying spot. They'll join first place Mexico and second place Costa Rica next year in Russia. Fourth place Honduras, which defeated visiting Mexico Tuesday night 3-2, will face Australia in a two-leg playoff next month, and the winner of that series will go to Russia. The Socceroos of Australia kept their World Cup hopes alive Tuesday with a 2-1 victory over visiting Syria in Sydney. The Syrians were bidding to reach the World Cup for the first time. They drew with the Aussies 1-1 in Malaysia in the first leg last week. Socceroos captain Tim Cahill had both goals for the Aussies in the decisive second leg, including an extra time winner in the 109th minute. Talk to us, Tim!
Yeah, that was meant to happen and we deserved it. I feel that it was a tough game, but we believed and we knew that it was going to go to the end. And it's a great feeling to win because we've worked so hard to be where we are today and you finish with the right result.
And that right result brought some relief to Australia's head coach, Ange Postecoglou.
I don't know, why do we have to make it so hard? It shouldn't be that difficult for us. But look, I'm immensely proud of the players and the staff who worked awfully hard to make sure we were ready for 120 minutes of football. And we left it late and we had, like I said, we had to work awfully hard, but I think we deserved to get through. And the players showed tremendous character, and as I said, I'm immensely proud of them.
Meanwhile, you definitely can't say American soccer fans are immensely proud of their national team. The United States suffered a shameful 2-1 loss to host Trinidad and Tobago Tuesday night. As a result, the Americans will be absent from the World Cup for the first time since 1986. A win or even a draw against Trinidad in last place in their qualifying group would have secured a ticket to Russia for the USA. But the Americans look slow and lethargic, and the result almost certainly spells the end for Bruce Arena as head coach. The U.S. Soccer Federation brought Arena back late last year with the specific goal of getting the team to Russia. Coach Arena told reporters after the loss, and I quote, "It's a blemish for us. We should not be staying home for this World Cup, and I take responsibility for that." Well, I know Coach Arena won't be counting down the days to Russia 2018 now, but my VOA colleague Ray McDonald is ready to do some counting.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home.
Nana,
classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa program. After Tuesday's World Cup qualifying action, 23 of the 32 places are now filled for next year's International Football Festival in Russia. Let's run down all 23 qualifiers in alphabetical order for our many Voice of America World Cup fans. The teams that have qualified so far for the 2018 World Cup are Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Egypt, England, France, defending champion Germany, Iceland, Iran, Japan, Mexico, Nigeria, Panama, Poland, Portugal, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, Serbia, South Korea, Spain, and Uruguay. More football news. Liverpool says striker Sadio Mane could be out for 6 weeks after suffering a hamstring injury while on international duty with Senegal. Mane was substituted in the 89th minute of Senegal's 2-0 win over Cape Verde in a World Cup qualifier on Saturday. He could miss six Liverpool matches, starting with the visit of top-of-the-table Man U to Anfield on Saturday, and also including a trip to Tottenham, as well as UEFA Champions League games home and away against Maribor. The 25-year-old Mane has scored 3 goals in 5 Premier League appearances so far this season. It's also a big loss for the Lions of Teranga from Senegal, who currently top Group D in African World Cup qualifying with 8 points from 4 matches. That puts the Senegalese 2 points ahead of Burkina Faso and Cape Verde and 4 points ahead of South Africa. Senegal will go against South Africa in 2 crucial World Cup qualifiers on November 10th and November 14th, and Mane is likely to miss both matches. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on The Sunny Side of Sports right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting spotty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
All right, Roy.
Let us greet with a song of hope each day. Though the moments be cloudy or fair, let us trust in our Savior always. To
keep us everyone in his care. So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day, it will brighten all the way, if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending out there in the sports world?
Well, Sonny, this is the story, of course, we've been talking about for weeks and weeks and weeks. The protests in the National Football League with players kneeling, sitting, not taking the field during the national anthem. And I think we said a couple of weeks ago on the show that Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League, really needed to come out and say something more substantive than the kind of short comments that he's given in the past. We've seen other league commissioners come out, like Adam Silver, who's the commissioner of the National Basketball Association. He came out and addressed the protests in the context of the NBA. And a lot of fans are saying Roger Goodell needs to do something before this really gets out of hand. Some people saying it's already gotten out of hand. Well, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League, finally issued a lengthy statement to chief executives and club presidents of all of the National Football League teams. It's about six paragraphs long, but I'll read a couple of little excerpts from it. He said, "The current dispute over the national anthem is threatening to erode the unifying power of our game and is now dividing us and our players from many fans across the country." Now, some would argue that it's already divided. It's not that it's threatening to erode it, that it's already eroded that. But he goes on later and he says, "Like many of our fans, we believe that everyone should stand for the national anthem." So this is the crux of this announcement, that he's come out in as a position that everyone should be standing for the national anthem. There should be no kneeling or sitting or anything else. He says, "It's an important moment in the game that the NFL wants to honor the flag in our country, and our fans expect that of us. We also, however," he says, "we also care deeply about our players and respect their opinions and concerns about critical social issues. The controversy over the anthem is a barrier to having honest conversations and making real progress on the underlying issues." So he's bringing it back to that main point that we talked about, that this protest all started because of the treatment of African Americans in this country. That's why Colin Kaepernick started doing this a couple of years ago. People have complained that it's taken on a different meaning about patriotism or the flag or unity. So we do get a sense of that from Roger Goodell, that he is trying to realign this and saying, let's come together and look at the actual issues that are being protested and see how we can address those. He says, the NFL needs to move past this controversy, and he says, we want to do that together with our players. So he's announced a plan that they've developed that they're going to review next week that would try to look at ways players can express themselves and ways that players can try to raise attention to these issues without doing it during the national anthem. And this is how he closes out this statement. He says, "The NFL is at its best when we ourselves are unified. In that spirit, let's resolve that next week we will meet this challenge in a unified and positive way." So that's the kind of period at the end of this sentence. He does not want to see anybody else kneeling during the national anthem. Now, whether that actually happens or not remains to be seen. And I'm willing to bet, Sonny, that even despite this statement, I think we are still going to see some players having some protests. But at least this is the start of a dialogue. At least it's the start of having NFL upper management really take a look at this and address this. And hopefully they will find a way to shine some light on the issues that were being protested and have this come together and keep the NFL unified, because that is a concern here.
I agree, Andrew. I think we're going to continue to see the protests during the national anthem. I've seen some fans this week say, maybe we should just abolish the national anthem at sporting events, except if it's a government-sanctioned event or an international event like the World Cup or the Olympics, where they play the national anthems for the various countries participating. Not a bad argument there.
Yeah, that's kind of the flip side of this. You have a lot of people saying that it's disrespectful to sit or kneel for the national anthem. You have a lot of other people saying, why do we have the national anthem there? That it's kind of this jingoist, you know, nationalist kind of thing. People don't really understand why it's played before sporting events. I can't say that I really know the history of it myself. It might be something that's interesting to look into and see, but I think this is going to play into that debate, and I think this is starting a conversation about how this goes forward in terms of respect, in terms of should there be the national anthem at all? Should there be a way for players to protest, or should there be this unity? These are all issues that have been raised now, in addition, as we said, to that original issue of protesting the treatment of African Americans in the United States. So it's really, you know, in the past few months, years even, athletics, sports have become really a social vehicle, I guess you could say. And this is evidence of that. You see a lot of these players who are taking a stand on different issues. And so I think this is just a continuation of that. But I do think we are going to see some resolve to this, hopefully, in the future, and then get back to the real important thing, which is the sports, obviously. But now, all kidding aside, I think it will be addressed. And I think hopefully everybody will come together.
Well, Andrew, I can confidently say we won't be hearing the U.S. national anthem in Russia next year at the World Cup after that dismal showing by the United States in Trinidad.
It's a lot of dismal, disbelief, disappointment. I've seen all of those terms floating around on social media. I saw a lot of my friends in my Facebook feed and Twitter feed had a lot to say about this. Many of those comments were not very kind for the U.S. men's national team. Many of those comments we cannot say on air because they use some very strong language. One person I'm Facebook friends with said that the team is a disgrace. So very strong words from some fans. Mm. And then one tweet I saw, just two words: fire everyone. People are very upset. They're blaming Jurgen Klinsmann. They're blaming Bruce Arena. They're blaming the leadership and the federation. They're blaming everybody for this. But according to Taylor Twellman, that blame shouldn't be directed at any one person. Now, Taylor Twellman was a forward with the U.S. men's national team. He's now a soccer commentator, and he has gone viral because he went on a rant on TV last night. He said the U.S. team was not prepared to play. He said the match was an embarrassment. He said that despite fans placing the blame on Klinsmann or Arena, the problems are deeper than any one person. It needs a total and complete reform. And he had this one line. He said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That famous quote. Fans are saying it was cathartic to hear Twellman speak out. And what he's saying, according to the fans, is absolutely correct. U.S. soccer does need a renovation, at least on the men's side. Now, actually, that was another point of contention on social media. A lot of people saying U.S. soccer needs to be renovated. U.S. soccer is terrible. People saying, wait a minute, U.S. men's soccer needs to have an overhaul.
Good point.
U.S. women's soccer, keep in mind, has done quite well at the World Cup. In fact, they've won the World Cup. So maybe the women's side doesn't need so much of a renovation, but certainly on the men's side, there needs to be some soul searching.
Well, with a minute left in the show, approximately, Andrew, how about some shout outs for Argentina and Portugal in the game's two biggest stars, Messi and Ronaldo?
Yeah, thank goodness. At least there'll be those headliners there. Messi, I mean, talk about coming in the clutch, the hat trick to get Argentina there and help from Chile losing to Brazil. One comment that I saw, I think this pretty well sums things up in the midst of the U.S. losing and Argentina winning. They said, the night started last night with the prospect of Messi not going to Russia. It ends with South American champs Chile not going instead. End of an era. So I think that's pretty interesting. Start of yesterday, you had the U.S. thought they were in. Argentina, there was some doubt. Chile, of course, the South American champs, were hoping they could win and get in. And by the end of the night, everything had kind of been turned up on its head. And at the end of the day, the U.S. is out and Argentina is in.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the October 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At 1600 hours Universal Time on Tuesday, October 3, 2017, the United States will begin accepting applications for the 2019 Diversity Visa Program. Applications will be accepted until 1600 hours Universal Time on Tuesday, November 7, 2017. Through this program, the United States government makes available 50,000 permanent resident visas to citizens of countries that traditionally have a low rate of immigration to the United States. The United States is a nation of immigrants. Throughout our history, immigrants from every corner of the world have contributed to life in the United States. Without this diversity, we would not be the nation that we are today. Historically, though, not all nations and ethnic groups are well represented in our country. The Diversity Visa Program specifically permits entries from countries with a historically lower level of immigration to the United States. This year, citizens from the following countries are not eligible to participate in the program based on their historically higher level of immigration to the United States: Bangladesh, Brazil, Canada, mainland China, Colombia, Dominican Republic, El Salvador, Haiti, India, Jamaica, Mexico, Nigeria, Pakistan, Peru, Philippines, South Korea, United Kingdom, except for Northern Ireland, and its dependent territories, and Vietnam. Entries for the Diversity Visa Program are accepted online only, no exceptions. Those who are interested in entering the DV program should go to dvlottery.state.gov and read the instructions, beginning with the qualification requirements. The entry process takes about 15 minutes to complete. All winners are chosen by a random drawing. It is very important that entrants save their unique confirmation number. In May of next year, you can begin checking the status of your entry on the website, but you can only check using your confirmation number. Successful entrants are not notified by email of the status of their EDV online entry. Any email claiming to notify entrants they have been selected for the DV program is not legitimate. Entrants can only access their information on their application through the online entrant status check at dvlottery.state.gov. The law allows only one entry per person during the registration period. Entrants who submit more than one entry will be disqualified. Those selected in the DV program may apply for immigrant visas. Entry into the DV program is free, so please keep in mind that anyone asking for money to better your chances of winning is running a scam. Good luck.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the Grace Hopper Celebration. The conference is the world's largest gathering of women in technology. We'll recap the events in Orlando, Florida, and speak with African women working in the industry in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere for their perspective on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
That AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at UpfrontAfrica.